We're going to be joined now by John Flanders. He's one of our regular labor contributors, and we're going to be discussing with John some of the current labor issues here in the Capital District. But first, John, maybe just give us quickly a little bit of the background of yourself in terms of involvement in the labor movement.
Well, I've been involved with the unions. I call it my long march through the decline in the fortunes of the working class, but I mean, dating back probably to the mid-70s, I've been in virtually every type of union, white collar, blue collar, transportation, manufacturing, and the last job where I spent 25 years was at CSX, where I was a machinist repairing locomotives and was the president of my machinist local for about 5 years.
So perhaps you can start telling us something about the picket lines that are continuing at the Albany Hilton.
Well, I'm not a huge expert on that, but I mean, what's interesting about this particular battle is that some sort of hedge fund guy bought the Hilton, and he's trying to squeeze a little bit more money out of it, I would say. But what is going on there, while it's a picket line, it's not actually a strike. It's a kind of informational picketing, and they're calling for a boycott of the facility, which has been heeded by some organizations, I understand, particularly unions, of course. But they had a big rally about a week ago that I attended and photographed, quite spirited. They brought in people from all over the state, and it's ongoing. How it's going to work out, since it's not a strike, I don't know. I mean, in the recent past, we've had a major strike at the Momentum Chemical Plant and a lockout at Honeywell that went on for months. But how this one will shake out, I can't really tell you.
So can you maybe briefly outline what are some of the key, concerns that people are having with the Hilton?
Well, as I understand it, issues like cuts in the pension, work rules, the usual stuff that bosses try to do to squeeze some more money out of the workers. But again, I'm not a big authority on all the details of the negotiations that are going on, and I don't want to really speak for the union in that particular case, except to say that, they've obviously having a problem with a new owner that wants to get as much as he can out of the workforce.
Over the last year, maybe the last 2 years, I'm not sure, I've heard a lot. I've been invited to go out to help support the informational picketers for Momentum. And I never quite understood why they encourage other people to go to join.
Well, I mean, the great thing about the Momentum strike anniversary is coming up. I think it began around November 1st of last year and lasted until, for I don't know how many, 211 days or something like that. It lasted until February, right through the winter. They were picketing right through the teeth of winter blizzards and everything else. The issues in the Momentum strike were particularly health care, I would say. Health care was a huge issue, particularly for retirees. The work rules, of course, but I have to say that probably healthcare was the major thing on people's minds in that particular strike. They were ramping up the cost of it for the workers to an unacceptable level. And this is a chemical plant, makes industrial silicones of various kinds, and I was up there a lot on the picket line, and I was struck, this is anecdotal, of course, but I was struck by how many workers that I talked to had cancer. So that became something of an issue, and I think the union polled the workforce to see how many of their members had cancer. As far as the solidarity is concerned, the leadership of that local, exemplified by the president, Dominic Patrignani, has consistently reached out to the local for local labor support for years. That local emerged when the plant was taken over from GE by Apollo Management, and there was a unilateral pay cut in the middle of a contract back in around 2008. And every contract since then, after that, and some of the workers in that particular situation had their pay cut in half. This is back in 2008. And every contract they had since then, things got worse in terms of the proposals. And one of the problems, maybe this is more detail than you want about the particular battle, but some of the problems that the local had was that there are several other plants out in the Midwest under the same contract who voted for contracts that the workers in their majority at the Momentive plant, there's about 700 of them, it's the biggest plant in the system, were against. And they weren't able in the previous contracts to outvote the other locals. But then finally last year they did. And went out and almost unanimously, and it was a very inspiring battle. All kinds of groups rallied around: local government, community organizations, religious leaders, other unions, community groups. I mean, you name it. And that's the way labor is going to make progress. It's, you know, by getting that kind of solidarity and support from the community.
So what was the particular union that was leading the strike or represented most of the workers, you know, at the plant? And you did mention, you know, some of the concerns about high cancer rates. Any sense that some of those health and safety issues will be pursued now?
Well, I mean, they did settle. It was a controversial settlement. The majority of the workers voted to settle, but there is a significant minority that were still unhappy after being out for so long that they didn't get more. You know, because of the danger of the work and the amount of cancer and so on that goes on in that plant, the healthcare issue was extraordinarily important.
Right. And the particular union?
Oh, the union is IW, International Union of Electrical Workers / Communication Workers of America, Local 81359. It's a complicated name because the Communication Workers of America incorporated the International Union of Electrical Workers a few years ago.
You know, there's a lot of concern, I think, with various people about the health benefits of retired labor union people. And that's one of the things that is currently an issue with whether or not we should have a constitutional convention for New York State. And I myself know that my own father lost his health insurance a year after he retired because of changes in ownership of a company. Does New York State have any security about this situation?
Well, we won't unless we pass the New York State the Health Act, which would cover everybody. The problem retirees have, of course, is that once they're retired, they lose a direct vote on contracts. And they're kind of at the mercy of whoever is working at the time. And the companies take advantage of that, for example, by trying to pit the young workers against the older ones, promising bigger pay increases in exchange for giving up health benefits for retirees. It's a real significant problem, and it's not going to go away until we get single-payer health care for everybody.
Now, the Capital District has one of the highest percentage of the unionized workforces left in the country, I think, large because we have a lot of, you know, state workers here that are, you know, in the union, CSCA, and PEF. But it also seems like the, you know, the labor unions in the Capital District are somewhat more progressive than perhaps around the state and providing some real leadership. And I remember, you know, sort of seemed to me as not a union person, you know, 30, 35 years ago when Solidarity was started to provide support for the, the Greyhound bus strike. You know, a little bit standoffish perhaps to some of the labor union leaders, and now a lot of the old Solidarity members are head of unions or, you know, head of Detroit Area Labor Council. It seemed like there's been a more of an embrace of the progressive, you know, trade union Solidarity activists.
Well, I think that's true to some extent. I wouldn't want to go overboard on that. I would say that This is my personal opinion, does not represent the Troy Area Labor Council or my machinist union or anything else. That
or even this radio station.
that we still have a problem of conservative trade union leaders, generally speaking. I'm not going to pick on any particular union, but I mean, we have a long way to go in terms of firing up the union base. I've gone to too many labor rallies where whoever it is from the state AFL-CIO says, and I represent 100,000 workers in the Capital District of New York or the greater, the Albany Labor Federation, and there's maybe 50 people there at the rally. Mm-hmm. You know, that's that kind of a dichotomy between how many people are paying dues and how much activism and activity there is.
Did you see any new movement of younger people involved? I mean, there seems to be a lot of new political action. It's not union related.
That was one of the exciting things about the Momentous strike. I brought some young activists up there, and they had never seen anything like it. Middle-aged, white, mainly male workers in a life and death battle with a big corporation. The kind of involvement of the rank and file that you saw in the Momentous strike really inspired people. I would say that, you know, as a result of the last election, the election of Trump, and so on, we're seeing a revival of interest in labor by younger people nationally. How much I can point to in the Capital District, you know, is purely anecdotal on my part.
So, John, we only have about 30 seconds left. If people want to, you know, keep in touch with the what's going on in the labor movement here in the Capital District, what's the best way to do that?
Well, they can search on Google for a CDALF, which is a Capital District Area Labor Federation. I think it's .org. But if they Google CDALF, they'll probably find the Capital District Labor Federation and be able to go to their website and plug into what's going on locally with labor.
Well, thank you, John Flanders.